Today is the 12th of November 2006. We start today the sixth lesson of the second courses about the metempsychosis. Trước khi vào buổi học, chắp tay được nhiều thánh chức bổn sư ba lần. Nam mô bổn sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Nam mô bổn sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Nam mô bổn sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Today we are going to the lesson number 6. Last time we learned about the cause and effect law. So today we are learning about the metempsychosis, in other words, reincarnation. But usually, whenever we say reincarnation, we think more about something very concrete, like, you know, a man become a dog, or a dog become a chicken, or something like this. But metempsychosis, you know, is also reincarnation, but in a broader sense. That is, you know, we return, we transform into something else, like a transformer. You know that? This is small things, you know, plastic toy. When you pull out, you know, a car, you know, becomes suddenly a robot or something, transformer. So we transform into something else. Now you understand easier. So what is metempsychosis? Introduction. The existence, the life, and death are important queries. That is, you know, these are the questions. Like, sooner or later, now, sometimes you're still young, so you don't worry much about that. Like we said before, sometimes you think like you're going to live forever. You never die. You never be sick. It's just like the Gautama Buddha when he was young, right? When he was Prince Siddhartha, he thought the same thing. And when he get out, and when he got out to the gates, and then he saw all these people, the sick, the dead, the old man. See, so now he suddenly realized that they are suffering in the world, in the real life. So sometimes we don't suffer much. We just know sometimes you don't get a thing you like, or you want, you feel you're like miserable. That's it. But real suffering, sometimes you don't know. Some kids, you know, might know, because I remember when I was younger, I saw a lot of kids, you know, who were really miserable. But nowadays, you know, in this wealthy country, usually you don't see it. But sooner or later, you will start to ask. At the school, sometimes they teach you, and then you start to ask question about existence, about the life and the death. Why are we here? Where will we go, you know, when we die? These are all the questions, you know, thinking people we have to think about. Of course, some people never think. They don't worry about that. They just, you know, enjoy life, you know, or become too materialistic. But usually you will ask someday in your life. So there are two theories. Death is final, or the soul is eternal. That is, some people think that, well, you are born, you will die, and that's it, and after you die, nothing exists anymore. Some people even declare that, well, when I die, it will be the end of the world. Of course, it is the end of the world for him or for her, but for other people, the sun also rises. So then, you know, even when we're sick, when we're angry, when we're miserable, other people are still happy. Other people who still carry around. So, nihilism, that is this, the death is final. When we die, nothing will happen anymore. So these people will not worry about the cause and effect and things like this. Or the second cause, completely contrary to the other one, is the soul is eternal. Why? Because the body will die. Of course, you know, nobody will live forever. The body will die, but they say, this second theory, they think that besides the body, we will have something. They call them the soul. The soul, you know, is something like, you know, a life force or something which make you live and make you act, make you do things like this. In that case, you know, they have the soul, but the soul is eternal. The soul never dies. The soul will go into heaven or go into hell. So these are two theories. Either you think that when you die, that's it. Nothing will happen anymore. Or you think that, well, whenever I die, my soul will go and rest in heaven, or go to hell, or go into something. Now, the Buddhism, in Buddhism, what we have learned? We have learned about the cause and effect. So in Buddhism, you know, we think about the reincarnation. That is, you know, the transformation, like we just said. That is, we will transform into something else. Why? Now you start to question, what is it? Is it really transformation? Or why? So we will explore this subject. Now we go to the main subject. Definition. Reincarnation, recycling. This is the word you understand now, right? When you recycle, what you do? You just put something to be transformed into something else. Like, you know, you have old paper, they can, you know, grind it, you know, mix it, you know, and make like a cardboard or something. Or you have old plastic bottle, they can melt it and then make something else. Or you have aluminum cans, they can melt and make aluminum or foil or something. So reincarnation is just like that, recycling. Why recycling? Because you remember we learned before, nothing is gone forever. That is, you know, whenever something dies, something deteriorates or something changes, it will change into something else. You remember I just told you about the transformers? We have a small toy like that. But the transformer at the time was not like sophisticated like the one you have now. They just, you know, were just a small guy, and then you pull out, you turn, and then it become like a robot. That's it. But nowadays, you know, you can change to different things. Or what we call now, if you play computer, you call it morphing. You know morphing? Yes, you should know. If you have like a software, you can take a picture, and then, you know, you can make your mouth go like this, or you can take a picture of a cat, and then you can meld them together, morph together. So this guy will become blue, transform into a cat. That's morphing, transforming, is like that. So with something will change to another thing. This is reincarnation. That's no big deal. Let's just say that reincarnation is something very difficult. No, it's not. It's normal. It's natural for everything, because you have learned that nothing is lost in the world. Like, you know, in our planet, you say something like, oh, you waste this aluminum can. You shouldn't try and put it in the trash. You should put it in the recycling bin. But, well, even if you put it in the trash, it go to the, like, disposal area, and then, you know, it will decompose. It will be eaten, or, like, it will become something else. Gradually, it does not change quickly as in the recycling bin. But it will change. Like, you know, our body is the same thing. If we die, and then they cremate us, they burn. We transform quick, you know, into ash, you know. But if they don't cremate us, they bury it in the soil, we will become dirt sooner or later. Say my 100,000 years. But then, nothing, you know, stays the same forever. We have to learn about that. So reincarnation just means like that, recycling. Now, accepting the cause and effect law, we cannot deny reincarnation since it is unending. Cause and effect. Because we have learned about the cause and effect, right? Whatever we do, whatever happens, we have some effect. So whenever we do something, and we try to, oh, oops, I did something wrong, but then you still have to pay for the consequence of it. So that is what we call by the cause of law and effect. We remember, we learned it last time, and if we think that, well, it's right, we have to accept reincarnation. Because reincarnation, what it is just an unending cause and effect law. Like, see, now, I have this paper, you can suppose. You're holding the paper now, you see the paper. Now we learn something or we read something like this, and after that, you know, you may keep it or you may throw it away. When it's thrown away, sometimes it goes to the recycling bin, sometimes it goes to the trash. Sometimes we just take it, you know, and try to use it to light some fire or something. So this piece of paper will transform into something else. Either be burned and transform into energy, into some smoke, some heat, or it will become decomposed and transform into some like nutrients for the soil or just the soil itself. After that, some plant, something will absorb that. Go into the plants. Yes, this atom, will go into some atom will go into the plant, some, will go some way else. And then, if you can find some chemical in this paper, you can find it later, in something else. Because this, like our body, whenever we die, we transform into even you know the house, the refrigerator, a car, something, because part of our body, you know, will transform into it. So reincarnation just means like this, unending cause and effect. That's the definition. So basically, reincarnation or recycling. Reincarnation, now we learn about, we try to study more. Reincarnation in the things and the humans, and reincarnation through the six realms. That's according to Buddhism. Now first, you know, we learn about the reincarnation in things and humans. We have to observe. Is reincarnation or metempsychosis no real? Or they just, you know, invent something? Because you see that all these are theories now. It's a theory. And what we mean by theory is that sometimes it can be proven. Sometimes it can. But you remember, we have learned before that we are very, very ignorant, very stupid. Because you say that sometimes some people tell me, I don't believe in religion. I don't believe in Buddhism. Why? Because it's just, you know, like a superstition. You just say something you can't prove. I'm a scientific man. I'm materialistic. If you can't prove it to me, I don't believe in it. A lot of people think like this. But they are stupid because they say something, you know, and they do another thing. What I mean by that is that they say something like, if I can't prove it, I don't accept it. But they accept it everyday life. We just talk about the chicken and the egg, right? You remember that? You do eat egg. Nobody asks, you know, where does this egg come from? If they say come from the chicken, so where does the chicken come from an egg? And where does the egg come from chicken? And then, what was the beginning? They don't worry about that at all. They cannot answer. So that's what we come by. They have faith in science. Science is supposed to be experimental. That is, you can reproduce it. If you think that, well, this, you know, must come from that, you can reproduce it, you can do it. So at first, they say that, at first there was an egg. So you have to be able to reproduce this egg. That's what they do, like, you know, on these, you know, genetic science. They're trying to create something from nothing. You know that? Yeah, they try to create something from nothing. They try hard, of course. But then, you know, what I mean is that we do have faith every day. Not only in religion, in science, yes. What is faith? What does faith mean? Give me the definition of it. Faith in the belief in something which cannot be proven. Right? Yes, yeah, so that's a faith. Like, you know, I believe in the Buddha. So you say, oh, Shakyamuni Buddha, he might be real, he might not. Somebody might invent him. Because you don't have proof, you don't have his identity card now, you don't have his picture. Some people will just draw his picture and you say, sometimes you see an Indian Buddha and sometimes a fat Chinese Buddha. So who is the real Buddha? You don't know, right? So you say, oh, okay, I have faith in Buddhism. But the science, the something you think that is very concrete, very materialistic, it is also faith. You just believe in it, you cannot prove it. And the chicken is only one thing. Other things, like a million of the other things. So, cannot be proven at all. Not yet. That is, you know, not yet. They try to prove more and more. So, reincarnation, what we come back into this reincarnation in thing human. That is, you know, we try to observe first to see if this is acceptable or not. Because the Buddha Shakyamuni, remember, told us, no, if don't believe in anything unless it is proven. And unless, you know, you apply it and you feel happy with it. So, like, you know, if you like, I like an omelette, I like a scrambled egg in the morning, I don't worry about where does the egg come from. You don't worry about this, just eat it, you feel happy. So that's it. So, reincarnation things in human, first we have to observe. First, the first four, earth, water, wind, fire. You know that? These are called the four elements. The four elements, you know, are the basic of all the knowledge, you know, we had before. Basically, you know, it is not water is water or earth is earth like this. But in the time, you know, they just divided the whole universe, you know, into four elements. So that was the reason why, you know, we watched the fifth element movie, right? You say, what was the fifth element? This was a good movie in a way. A little bit violent, but it's good. Watch it. So what is the fifth element? Watch it. Basically, the four elements, water, fire, wind, nowadays we think that earth, you know, means something solid, something firm, something like this. Water, something float, or wind, you know, the movement of the elements, and the fire, you know, the energy. But basically, you know, they really believe in that. Fire, you know, was fire, earth was earth, water was water, and the wind is just the wind. So sometimes you hear some old people, especially, they say, not only Vietnamese, but Chinese, you know, Bosnian, even American. They think about the wind. I'm sick because I have a bad wind. But the bad wind comes to me, you know, I feel sick. Wind, you know, just represent the movement of elements. Now we go gradually. First, the earth is reincarnate. Now if we believe the earth, like, you know, the dirt, the soil, thing like this, like a clay, a piece of clay, you see, when you mold it, you turn it into a pot, it becomes a pot, right? And then you use it, or after a while you break it, you throw it away again. So whenever you dig the dirt from the earth and mold the clay into a pot, nothing is waste. That is, you know, the dirt just transformed into a pot, and the pot being transformed back into the earth or something else, like, you know, dirt transformed into the time you use now, or the soil feed the plants and go into the human. The soil, you know, decompose, make material decompose and become the soil. And the soil, you know, feed into the plants. The plants, you know, get nutrients from the soil. Something in the soil will be broken down and absorb into the plant. And we eat the plant, we get some dirt into our body. It comes from the soil. Even, you know, some dead, you know, animals come into our body. That is what we call by reincarnation. So everything is reincarnated. The water, you already know that. The clouds become the rain and transform into water or ice. We haven't learned about that, right? The wind also reincarnated. The winds, basically nowadays we think that is just movement of air, right? So it is incessant. That is, you know, unending. Even, you know, sometimes when you go out and you see there's no wind at all. That's a movement, but we don't perceive it only. But the wind change, the wind move, that is, the air move every, you know, every moment. The fire is reincarnate. The fire, like everything, you know, the fire, the wind, the water cannot stay like that forever, because we learn about impermanence. Remember that? Impermanence means that nothing stays like that forever. Like, you know, you go out and you see the mountain, and you say, okay, I look at the Mount Everest, Everest, right? So then, you know, it stays there forever, like, you know, a million of years already. But before a million of years, there was nothing. And then some movement on the surface of the earth and collide and then form all these mountains. You remember that? See, we have learned about that. But the time was very, very, very long, longer than our life. So we think that is immovable, it's permanent. But nothing is impermanent. Like a life of a small thing, a small insect, you know, might last only one day. The life of chicken, if you eat them, 3 months to 6 months. If you don't eat them, might be a couple of years. So then, well, everything will transform. We will not stay like that forever. Even the worlds are reincarnate. We learn about that, right? All past through four stages, birth, growth, regression, and death. That was taught by the Buddha. We learn about that later. Everything, you know, will go through four stages. Our mind, our thought, you know, the material things, all of these go through these four stages. Birth. That is, you know, the formation of it. The growth, I mean that, you know, it stays like that, or it becomes bigger and bigger, it transforms. Regression, I mean that, you know, it go back, it wins, then the death of it. Concretely speaking, you know, we say things like a plant, right? When you put a seed down, the seed and wing sprout into a plant. The plant grow up, that is second stage. After it grow up, you know, it become big plant like that, and then it can become like a tool. So then it starts to decompose, I mean to die down. When it dies down, you know, later on you see like a dead plant, that's it. Or some people, you know, saw that, you know, make a wood or something. Now an animal, you see it, first, you know, a baby animal, a puppy, something like that, very cute, oh puppy, and then, you know, go up, you know, into a big dog, and then you have to feed them a lot, clean up after them, and after him, and then, you know, it's very, like, active. You can play with it. It can take care of your house, and then someday you know, the dog may become old, and then you sleep all the time, like an old man, right? And then someday you will die. Everything will go through that element. Even inanimate things. We have heard about the mountains, right? And even the solar system, talk about that last time, remember? 6 billion years later, you know, the solar system will go away. You don't have it anymore. So then, even the worlds are reincarnated. But then, like the solar system, it just does not disappear like that. It transforms into something else. Even transforming into energy is also some transformation. Like you see, you buy some gas, right? $3, not now, it's cheaper. A gallon, and then you pour it into the car, you run for a while, and then you open it. Where does it go? It becomes energy, right? Because it burns, it goes into your combustion engine. You learn about that. So it burns. It gives you the energy to make the car run. So then it transforms into something. Humans are also reincarnated. That's easy. You see dead people already. Sometimes you might not, but then, you know, when the body dies, it doesn't go away just like that. Because if you cremate the body, it is transformed either into energy or something else, or still have some soil. Because sometimes you know, they have to get out the ashes, you know, or grind on this bone, the leftover of the bone. Some people nowadays, they call them the sari. That is sala, yeah? Whenever you die, you say, they dig into the small piece of bone and think, ooh, this is sari. But basically, you know, you will transform into something else. The body will transform. If you bury a corpse, the corpse, you know, will be transformed into dirt. So, the human body is destroying and rebuilding itself every moment. That is, you know, even if you're alive, because we just say something about when you're dead, but even if you're alive, last time when I met with my friends, we did meet each other for like 40 years. And when I met some of them, I couldn't even recognize them. Completely changed. So they saw me, you know, completely changed too. Because when I look at my younger picture, when I was baby like this, you know, someone carried me, I look at me, old man, you know, I still have some teeth, but you see, completely changed. You cannot recognize it. So the body changes, and in science you know that your body, the cells of your body are destroyed and changed, like your blood. Your blood, right? You have learned about that. Your blood, you know, born from the bone marrow. The bone marrow, you know, give birth to the cells, which will be transformed into your blood cells. Some, you know, will become like white cells and become like red cells. We just talked about now about red cells, it's easier. It become a red cell, and the red cell will be released into the bloodstream. It circulates in your blood. And what it does, just, you know, take the oxygen in and then release it through your tissues, and then take the carbon dioxide and release it into the lungs. So this is just a cycle of hemoglobin. It's easier to understand. But after like 3 months, it passes every day. It passes through the spleen, but the spleen doesn't pick it up. Now, after 3 months, it become old. And a little bit old, and when it goes through the spleen catch it and then destroy the sac of hemoglobin, the back of hemoglobin, releasing the hemoglobin. The hemoglobin get into your blood and go into your liver. The liver will pick it up and transform into the bilirubin. You understand that, right? You already learned about that. The bilirubin will go into the bile, because the liver cell will form the bile. The bile to digest the food. Bilirubin is green. Hemoglobin is red. So it's transformed to the bilirubin. The bilirubin will go into the bile. The bile that digests the food, some of them, you know, will be excreted out, but some of them will be absorbed back into your body. Now, also, you know, the iron and things like this in the red cell will be absorbed back. So, basically, theoretically speaking, no red cell in your body stay the same like after 3 months. Like after 3 months, you know, if you check any red cell in your body, you don't have the old one anymore, right? That's only about this red cell. But even your body, you see that every time, you know, when you take a shower, you use some soap, right? And then you try to rub it, and you see some dirt get out. You say dirt, right? But these dirt are mostly the cells of your body. Because the skin cell will secrete something. We grow up, the basal cell will grow, and the old cell on the top will die. Now, some secretion from the glands will ooze out also. And then these four, combined with the waste in the air, dust them to form the dirt. You clean every day. So your body, even your skin will change completely. Completely after like a couple of months. Your body, even the bones will change. So the body is destroying and rebuilding itself every moment. Even when you're alive, your body changes also. That is living reincarnation. The spirit is reincarnated. Now we just talk about the concrete things. Now the spirit, the mind or spirit doesn't die, only transform into another appearance through the law of karma or cause and effect. We learn about that later. Because today we just learn about the reincarnation. But later on we see that even the mind, because even nowadays, science and still query about this question, about what is the mind? They know that you have some influence from the brain, but they cannot, just fuse the mind into a memory in the computer. A memory in the computer is dumb. A computer is just like something you put in and then you get out. Whatever you get put in, you can get out. And the processing of it, is made by some program. And the program, you predict it already. You tell them to do. Like, if you put one, and if you add them, they're supposed to get out two, right? If you give this order to the machine, whenever you put one, you put another one, they put out two. That's it. They cannot invent something else. They cannot put one, above the other one, or one under the other one, or divide one, unless you give some order for the computer. But the brain, is different. Our mind is different. The brain is just like a powder and half of jelly things. You see the brain before? Have you seen the brain? Okay, so you see it? Now if you cut down, you see that, all these neurons, these cells, with all the dendrite and the axon, can be related to the memory things in the computer, right? The chips in the computer. But then, even if you compare like that, you cannot say about the mind. Because the mind is unpredictable. The mind follows what we call by a fuzzy logic. Have you heard about that? The computer, it goes only one way. That is, if you go to this, transistor to this, another transistor, to another transistor, or to another condenser, or resistor, this is just like that. If you branch it, from this transistor, you can go to one transistor, the transistor A, or to the transistor B. But you have to program before. That is, you can predict exactly what does it do in the transistor A or transistor B. But in the neuron cell, that is in our brain, you see that the neuron, that is the nerve cell, has a lot of dendrite, one axon, but a lot of dendrite. So it gets in the input, and then it can get out to a lot of different ways. But the nerve cell can choose itself which way to go. It has different gait. So then that will produce what we call by the fuzzy logic. That is, we cannot use the real logic to predict it anymore. So the mind is unpredictable. Not really unpredictable. We can predict it later, but then basically, the mind works on its own. So you have some what we call by freedom in the mind. The mind or spirit doesn't die and only transform into another appearance. We learn about that later. Because we will learn about what we call by the storage consciousness. That is Alaya Vinaya. You might not understand it yet, or you might have already understood that. But later on we learn about that. That is what will make you come back. The third, so basically all the matters, the things and the human reincarnate. That is recycle. Now we learn about the reincarnation through the six realms, according to the cause and effect law. Whatever cause has been created, whatever effect will be inherited, brought along by the karma. That's easy to understand, right? If you have a cause, you will have an effect. later, whenever you have. You have learned about that last time, so we don't repeat it again. But basically, you know, sometimes you have the effect right away, sometimes you have an effect like in 1 million years. It's easy. Like, you know, if you have a flashlight, now, you know, you shine through the star A123, you know, in the constellation of Sagittarius. Probably, you know, in 1,500,000 years, 600,000 or something like this, you know, some people, something, you know, in that planet, you know, in this constellation, you know, can see your light, right? But then, you know, it will be like billions of years later. Yeah, that's true, because if you have read about cosmology, you see that some stars we see now are already dead. Millions of years ago, now we see their light. But they are already dead now. But so basically, whatever cause has been created, whatever effect will be inherited. That is, you know, if you have a cause, we will have an effect. According to the law of cause and effect, now we learn about the karma. What is karma? Karma, you know, is what we do, then it will produce some effect. It's easy like this. It will produce. It might produce right away or it might produce later. So whenever we reincarnate, we're talking about human now. When we reincarnate, in Buddhism we learn about the sixth realm. According to us, that is according to our sense, our feeling, or our mind, you know, we have the sixth realms. For all the things, you know, they might have all the realms. But for us, you know, we have the realm, the hungry ghost, the animal, asura, the humans, and the gods. The realm, you know, that is like in all the religions, they call them the realm. That is where you get, you know, all the suffering. Why? Because the hell is caused by anger, even doing, and hurt itself and other. We have learned about that before, right? Whenever we do something bad, we are angry, or we do something really bad and hurting people, we are in hell, right away. We don't have to wait until we die to go to hell. But if we accumulate all these bad things, bad even doing things, we will go to hell. If you believe in that. The second is the hungry ghost. The Pali, you know, call them Pita. The hungry ghost, they have like more than 30 different kinds. 36, according to the sutra, Pitavatthu, that is sutra of the hungry ghost. In that, you know, the Buddha described on the hungry ghost, how do they appear, what do they do, and why did they get there? That is, you see, like, you know, if you're very greedy, greedy, like you will become like a ngā quỷ, is a real hungry ghost, which have, you know, like a very big, big belly like this, and the throat, you know, is phagos, is like just like a small pipe, this one, the needle, the size of a needle like this. So you are very hungry, but you cannot eat. Whatever you eat, you know, will be stuck in there. You cannot get there. That was caused by the greed. When people are too greedy, they are like, you know, these hungry ghosts. They want to hoard themselves. Hungry ghost caused by greed, avarice. See, greed means you like too much of things. You have one thing, you like to have another thing or better things. That is greed. But avarice means that you just like to hoard material things, even, you know, without enjoying it. That's avarice. That's different. Avarice does not mean that, you know, you don't give them out. Of course, you know, people who are greedy, you know, don't give out things. But avarice, you know, don't give out even to themselves. Some greedy people, they hoard the things, but they enjoy things. Avarice, you know, means that you hoard things and you don't even, you know, use it. That is, you know, some people, like, you know, they save money and then they just put under their mattress. Just like that. And when they die, you know, people go move their house, they found a whole bunch of money. And then they live, you know, very miserable. So avarice is like that, hungry ghost, because they have money but they cannot spend them. They're afraid to spend them. Not happy self and all the same thing. Not happy self or the don't give out. They just keep. Why? Because when they die, you know, they go away anyway. So hungry ghost, if we're too greedy, things like that, or avar, you know, when we die, you know, we're going to become hungry ghosts. But basically, remember, the hungry ghosts or the hell, the animals, you know, you don't have to wait until you die. You can be a hungry ghost, you can be in hell, or you can be an animal right in this life. like an animal caused by ignorance, drowning in sensual pleasure. So that is the reason why sometimes you hear people saying that, oh, he's like an animal. He's a party animal. If you go to party too much, okay, spend your time only drinking and going to party, they say, oh, you're a party animal. So animals like that, and cause of ignorance, because they take something, everything to themselves only. They don't care about anyone else. There are people like that. Sometimes when we meet one like this, you might become very miserable later. Animals caused by ignorance, drowning in sensual pleasures. We just like to eat too much, you know, to play too much, don't do anything for the whole world, well, for anyone else. That you become, like they say, animals. Asura, okay, asura is sometimes in all the religion, you call them demon. But the demons, you know, are not like the sense in all the religion. We just translate asura into anti-gods. That is against the gods. We learn about the gods later. Caused by equally good and evil doing, being impulsive and ignorant. That is the asura, you know, is the one. The one, you know, who still does good and bad things. It's like human. We can do good and bad things. But they are very angry. That is impulsive. Impulsive and ignorant too. That is, ignorant means that they don't realize that they will have reincarnated. They will have to help all the people. They don't care about them. They care only about themselves. So in the sutra, you know, the asura have also the male and the female. That is like in human, we have many women, right? The man is very strong, very angry. Those, you know, who try to fight each of them all the time, you know, are asura, men asura. And women asura is very pretty. But they are like, you know, the girls, you know, in the old time, they are very petty, but very mean. So then these are the same thing. The asura caused by equally good and even doings, but still impulsive and ignorant. So they cause suffering to other people, to other sentient beings too. And they always fight against the gods. Whenever they say, like, you go to learn Buddhism, so, oh, there's nothing like Buddhism, oh, there's superstitious thing like this. Be careful. Be careful. Whatever you are in life, first thing we should do is to be, like, you know, humble. That is, you know, okay, I can learn from anyone. Like, you know how to play PSP, right? I don't play as good as you, so I learn something from you. You have the cheating, give to me. How do you do that? Take. So they learn the rule. And I learn even from the kids, you know, they say, no, you know, how can I treat my headache? Say, how? Just pinch right here. If you hurt, you know, on the left side, you pinch here. If you hurt on the right side, you pinch here. You hold it like this, your headache will disappear. Say, okay. So I go home. One day I have headache, try to touch. You see? And sometimes it doesn't disappear. No medicine, right? And I'm a doctor. So then we can learn from someone every day. Be humble. That is, you see, you can be like a very, you know, like a learned boy, man, or girl, thing like this. But then, you know, you ask your mom, how do you think she cook it? And you think that you can cook as good as her, try to. Once, you see, sometimes you cannot do good like this. Or sometimes you cannot do something else. So try to be humble. Because if not, you will become asura. An asura will cause suffering to other people, and in the next life, you know, they will become like an animal thing. The human is the fifth plane. Human caused by respecting the five precepts. If you are here, that was because in your previous life, you know, probably you were good. You did good things. It's not easy to become human. Because later on you see that they are men, they are more animals than humans. Now the gods, when you want to become gods, it's caused by practicing the 10 good wills. The 10 good wills, you know, basically, you know, is also these 5%, but you respect them completely. So, I don't kill, but then, you know, I eat hamburger, no problem with me. I like spare ribs, ooh, good, okay, yummy, something like that. Turkey, good, I don't kill turkey. So then, you know, you respect the 5%, but not as much as these 10 good wills. What are these 10 good wills? We learn about it into the next lesson, but basically I can tell you that. 10 good wills not come from the three things: the body, the mouth, the speech, and the mind. The body, the speech, and the mind. The body, you have three good wills: do not kill, do not steal, and do not fornicate. That is, no, do not do much sexual pleasures, do not steal from other people, and do not kill things. From the mouth, you have four. Okay, very important, you see. Why? Because if you want to become a god, don't talk too much. Bad things don't come out from the mind, from the mouth. Four things: lying, bragging, insinuating. You don't say bad things about them, but you make them go against each other, right? Insinuating is like that. And cursing, you know, right? So these four things, if you avoid them, you can have four good wills. And about the mind, you have the three things: anger, greed, and ignorance. The three things. You avoid the anger, you avoid the greed, and you avoid the ignorance. Try to learn and whatever you can. So if you follow on this, you will become God later. That is, you know, you go into heaven. Or, you know, you become God. Why? Because only gods, you know, can have on these good characters. So in Vietnamese, you say, you're like, oh, you, he's like a fairy, or she is like a fairy, huh? You know that? Cũng như tiên, you know, trời ơi, cũng như bục, you know, right? So that only, you know, good people or nice people, you know, can be told like that. To escape from reincarnation into this sixth realm, you have to practice the deliverance ways of the hero, the Pratyeka Buddha, the Bodhisattva, and the Buddha. We just go through this. Now, usually we will be transmigrated. That is, you know, we will reincarnate, recycling, you know, into this sixth realm. Most of you, because you do good things, you do bad things, and you, if you curse too much, you know, you fight too much, you steal something, or something like this, usually you will go into either Asura or animal. Sometimes even in hell, if you really kill a lot of people. Or, you know, you will come back into human. Or, you know, if you really go to the temple, you know, every week and try to pray every week, you will become God. Yeah. See, you do good things, you will become God. But still, you know, even if you follow this, even if you become these gods, and you are still in this cycle of the sixth realm. Now the Buddha or the Bodhisattva escape from this sixth realm. They cannot become hungry gods anymore. So what are these four things? The hero means the voice hero. That is the one, you know, who practice really, you know, the four noble truths. The Pratyeka Buddha. Pratyeka Buddha. This word. Pratyeka Buddha means the lone Buddha. The Buddha who stay alone. We'll learn about that later. The Bodhisattva, you know that, right? You understand it or not? Bodhisattva is higher than the Pratyeka Buddha, higher than the hero, and near to the Buddha. Why? Because they don't care about themselves. They only care about other sentient beings or non-sentient beings. That's very difficult because you don't care about yourself. You just care about other people. That's very, very difficult. But then if you can practice it, you will become a Bodhisattva. That is Bodhisattva, you see. So why do you have to pray to the Bodhisattva? Because they don't care about themselves. They can, you know, do anything, you know, for anyone. The Buddha, you only know that, the light one. So the hero, you know, the practitioner of the Four Noble Truths, the Pratyeka Buddha, the one who realized the cause and effect, and who live exactly like that. So they don't have followers. They are not Buddha. That is, you know, they don't teach on anyone else. But they live exactly like that. Good. They are good. So Ika in Sanskrit means one. Buddha, you only know, the enlightened one. And Prati. Prati means the practical. That is, you know, the one who practices alone, who become enlightened by himself only. Now you think that, okay, you say something about that, ooh, that's for superstitious people. Nobody, you know, reincarnate something like that. No, there are like, you know, millions of stories like this in the world. See, in every civilization you hear about that. So we say many stories about reincarnation. In the Vietnamese book, the monk, you know, the teacher, this venerable teacher, Hoan, he gave about these three stories. But if you go home now, you have the web, right? You go on the internet, go on the web, and try Google. You can go to Yahoo, search, or whatever. or ask them, but go to Google and type down like a reincarnation story. And if you click on a search or go, you will find out like 80,000 pages. In fact, you know, most of these you can read for your whole life. But there are many. Some, you know, is believable, some are not. But basically, these are not like old women tales, because I just say you. Countless story of reincarnation been told in the past as well as present. Example, Dr. Brian Weiss. Dr. Brian Weiss, you know, checklist. Go, because I have these in his books. Of course, you know, you have to buy his book. You can read on the web. But you can go on his website. Dr. Brian Weiss, you know, he is a medical doctor and he is a psychiatrist. That is specializing, you know, in psychiatry. He did not believe in something like this, reincarnation Buddhism. He never. But then, you know, while practicing, he suddenly see that, you know, his patient can recall the past life. In fact, you know, a lot of people like that, whenever you go into regression, you remember I told you that before? Nowadays, you know, if you just try to sit down, meditate, and you try to recall, what have I eaten this morning for breakfast? It's easy, right? Some people can never remember. Yes, you see, some people cannot remember even just a couple of hours ago because they don't pay any attention to it. But then, you know, the practitioner, that is, you know, the psychologist or the psychiatrist will try to probe. They ask, what have you eaten for breakfast? I don't remember. So try to remember. Was it before you brush your teeth or after you brush your teeth? Say, of course, before I brush my teeth. So, you remember when you brush your teeth, what kind of toothpaste do you use? No, I don't remember. But usually what brand? Express. No, Colgate. Something like this. So then, you know, you remember before that, you know, what happened? Oh, I remember. My wife scolded me because I spilled some egg on my shirt. Oh, so I had some egg for breakfast. Right? So then, you know, he tried to help this guy, you know, to probe deep down, just, you know, for breakfast. And then now he asked, what have you eaten yesterday or the month before? Sometimes we cannot remember at all. But then, you know, some people, you know, whenever we go into deep hypnosis, that is deep meditation, you can remember this. And then, you know, before you were born, you remember what I told you before, right? So some people, you know, can go really fast into this regression. And Dr. Brian Weiss, he is not only that, he is a professor of psychiatry in Yale. He's big. And he's not supposed to be like a quack. And now, you know, he just arrived out all his experiences, all his story. He don't comment on anything. This patient, this one, she is this, or this man is that, which day and which day. And then he compiled like 100 different stories like this. And then he tried to compare with all the people. And then suddenly, you know, he see that there must be something there. They just cannot invent it. Whenever they go into this hypnosis, they try to probe down. Like some people will say, like, reincarnation, okay? Some girl say that, well, I was, you know, in previous life, you know, one of my life, you know, I was in Syria. Say, Syria? Can you speak Syria? No. Of course. And so, where were you? In this place, that place? And then probably, you know, she read too much about Syria, right? Or watched too much Discovery Channel. So but then next time, you know, when she was in deep trance, that is, you know, in deep hypnosis, he tried. And suddenly, you know, he heard her saying something. But you see, it's like me. That is, you know, he record everything. Because with the patient, he record, because he cannot write down everything. He record it. Saying some strange word. Then after that, you know, he just showed to some assistants, what is this? Cannot understand. Go to the school, because he was in the university. He go to see. Anyone who understand that? It's Syrian. Because there was some Syrian student. They say, Syrian, what does it mean? And he explained that. But this is old one, because we don't say like that anymore. Right? It's like, you know, in Vietnamese, and you say something before 75, it's different from now. Nowadays, you know, you say word differently. Right? So then, you know, he suddenly, you know, he was like, you know, puzzled. he was a scientific man. He still is a scientific man. But then something we cannot explain. So where does it come from? We cannot conclude yet. But if you don't believe in it, just dig down. Learn about something. Don't conclude yet if you don't believe in it. But you see that out there, no, there's a lot of different things in which you can have to learn. The question now sometimes you have some query. How come humans and animals increase in number? You say that, okay, dog. You say that, man become dog, dog become like a pig, pig become human, man, things like this. So how come, you know, now we have, before we have like 1 billion, now we have 3 billion people. So where do these people come from? Do they come from all animals? And if you say yes, so how come even the animals don't grow more in number now? So where do they come from? Because of the transmigration. You remember that we said? That is recycling. It is not only man become human, but human can come from this piece of paper or come from this thing. Remember? Recycling. The only thing we worry was about the mind. Now, how can animal become human? That is, so you say, okay, you become a dog or a pig, so a pig, you say that if you want to become human like this, you cause by respecting the 5 precepts. So how can a pig or dog keep the 5 precepts? Like you see a lion, how can he keep the 5 precepts? He has to kill every day to eat, right? Or every couple of days to eat. So how can an animal become human? The answer is that karma is not soul, but an energy imbued with action of sentient beings. That's a big word, but basically what it is that you have you remember we talked about the orange seed, right? We have orange seed, we live there. Don't expect to have orange to eat at all. You put in the soil. You plant it, sometimes you plant it, and then you can get some orange, right? But then sometimes you suddenly start to have something else. That's what we call by the X-Men guys, right? Have you watched about the X-Men? When I was young, I love X-Men. In fact, I had the whole collection of X-Men. The Professor Xavier, right? And the Magneto. And all his students. But that was in the time. Nowadays, they are meaner. But basically, X-Men are mutants. Mutant means that, something in the body or something in the genes. Nowadays, we say about the gene. In the time of the first X-Men, usually they just talk about the electricity and the magnetism and things like this only. But nowadays, we know more about the genetics. So then they talk more about the genes, some transformation from the gene. Now, this happens every day. Like you have some infection, right? You have some infection by some bacteria. Doctor give you some penicillin, and after a while you say, look, your medicine not good. I still have a sort of, I cannot talk at all. And doctor say, make a swab, make a culture, and sensitivity. You say, oop, this microbe is resistant to penicillin, right? Now it is sensitive to this like a septin only. So I have to give you septin, stop the penicillin. So why? How come this? Because of the mutation in the bacteria, in this kind of microbe. This microbe will become resistant to penicillin. But it is still sensitive to septin, so you can use it. The body is the same. Sometimes you see that. Now you see there are white men, black men, big men, short men like the pygmy, and tall men like Sudanese. They all live in Africa, right? But the Sudanese are tall like this, and the pygmy is short like this. So how come, there are people like this? So because of the mutation, when you check into their genes, they are different, but they are all human. So we say that how can animal become human? Because the karma is not soul, but energy imbued with the action of sentient beings. Like you see, you hear about the story of this dog or cat, things like this, who live, which live in the temples, and then they sit down and listen to the Tung King, right? Whenever the monk chant, they sit down and try to listen to it. Because why? Because all the energy, whenever we become human, or we become dog or cat or something, we become only transiently in this short span of life. That's it. But after that, we will be transformed into something else. But we will be transformed and directed by the karma. That is the thing we did before. If we like a frequent, the people, the good people, we will try to go to a good place later. If we frequent the bad people, we become bad later. We will go into the bad place later. Conclusion, metempsychosis doctrine has destroyed nihilism in its autonomous. We told that, you know, before, right? In the introduction, that is, you know, if you believe that when I die, you know, nothing, there's nothing else. Okay, that's it. That's wrong. And eternalness, that is, you know, whenever we die, the soul will go into heaven or go to hell forever and ever and ever. No, that's not right. But the term metempsychosis, that is, you know, reincarnation, explains the continuity of the mind and the universe. That is, you know, the mind and the matters through the law of cause and effect and the possibility of changing the karma. You see that? That is, you see, if we did something wrong, we can repay it. That is, you know, we can change it. We are not stuck there forever. Like I said, okay, I'm a dog, you know, I study a dog, you know, for the whole years, you know, that, of course, the whole life. You cannot change a dog to a man, but then, you know, a dog is a dog. But after this life, you know, you can change to something else. Now, even if when you're alive, you remember we talked about that, this body, you know, human reincarnation, body is destroying and rebuilding itself every moment. So if you were born poor, that does not mean that you will die poor, right? Everybody know that. If you were born ignorant, of course, who else does? Right? Who else isn't? When we were born, we are all alike. We didn't know anything, right? And then according to the education, we become different. Some people become more ignorant, or some people become more intelligent, or they know more, some people know less. But then, you know, we change. We can change our destination. So, and the possibility of changing the karma, the same thing. If you did bad thing before, we stop it and try to do good things. This lesson was a little long, but we finish it here. Nguyện đem công đức này hướng về khắp tất cả đệ tử và chúng sinh đều trọn thành Phật đạo.